And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
Hey, Twins Nation, this is Joe Gunderson again this week with Matt Hoffman. How are you doing this week, Matt?
Oh, just peachy.
Well, good. I don't know if that's sarcastic or not, but that'll work.
A little bit of both, but we'll take it.
I heard you told me that you got to, for your job, travel up to the greatest state in the union for a day. How was Fargo?
It wasn't too bad. It was a long day.
Yeah.
I drove, I think I was on the road by 7 a.m. and I didn't get home till like 9:15 on Friday night. And then I had to get up and work and drive over to Minnesota right away in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a long day.
What is just a delivery you had to do up there for some reason?
My boss owns contracts some routes up there, so they were shorthanded.
Okay.
So, and I've been up there before, so, and I kind of, it's kind of, it was between me and another guy of one of us going up there, so, but okay. I got compensated pretty good for it, so.
Oh, good. I would imagine they have to, but that's, it's good. So let's get into it, shall we? Our Twins week. They went 3-3 this week, but that does include a big series win against the Rangers that I'm not sure I expected. I was hoping for a split, so a series win is fantastic. Unfortunately, they did get swept by the Brewers in their two-game series at the beginning of the week due to some not-so-good pitching from the – it seems like it's been the bullpen lately is faltering pretty bad.
Yeah, the Milwaukee series, the bullpen was – kind of to blame, you know, I mean, probably the most to blame for those two games in that series. I mean, it would have been great to see them come with one win out of that. Obviously that didn't happen. But hey, you know, 3 out of 4 against Texas, you know, who's a first place team. I mean, I'll take that.
Definitely. So like for example on Tuesday they lost 7-3. The reason was a bad outing by Dylan Floro, giving up 5 runs in an inning, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Again, on Wednesday, they lost 8-7, and mostly in part to the bullpen, giving up 5 runs. And Twins just couldn't get one more run across to keep the game going. Things did get better this weekend. They won 3 out of 4, like we said. Thursday was a dramatic 7-5 win with Ryan Jeffers hitting a pinch hit home run in the 8th inning. I don't know if you heard the behind the scenes story from Carlos Correa about that at bat?
No, you'll have to fill me in on that one.
So, Ryan Jeffers was anticipating having to pinch hit late in that game. I figured he would be facing the closer Will Smith for the Rangers.
Oh, yes, yes. And, now I know what you're talking about.
And, he was telling him he's going to throw me a slider, you know, because that's his best pitch. And it's exactly what happened first pitch. And I just thought that was an awesome behind the scenes thing that he was, that he got it exactly right. He knew he was anticipating and warming up and knew exactly what to expect.
Because
chose his maturity.
They had the pitching machine set up for like a high release curve.
Yep. Or
so
to mimic his release. Yep.
No, that I did listen to. Now I knew what you were talking about. I was thinking there was something else that happened, but no, that's very good. Yes, a very, very mature move by the young kid. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's been said, you know, by his coach in college that he was a very, very hard worker, you know, because when he kind of came in, he wasn't even one of the best players when he was at college. And, you know, he's worked his butt off harder than anybody just to get to where he's at. So, and obviously that work ethic is kind of starting to show here, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah, definitely. And he's been a big, big revelation this year. And thankfully, because, you know, I wouldn't say they gave up on him or anything, but they definitely, when they signed Vasquez this offseason, that, you know, that kind of signified that maybe they didn't quite believe in Jeffers that much anymore, or had just anticipated he'd probably be the backup catcher. And so he's come back from that to prove that, you know, no, I got a legit game here. So
yeah,
it's been a nice surprise.
And that is the case. You know, the Twins did believe that, you know, he just wasn't ready for that number one role. So, you know, bringing in a guy in like Vasquez, you know, knowing now, I mean, if we knew now what, you know, what we could have known then, it was, you know, it'd probably be a different story. We might not have signed in Vasquez, but at the time, you know, it's, you know, you bring in a veteran. You know, like most teams, you know, you always bring in a veteran catcher, or at least try and have one, whether he's a backup or he's your first catcher. And, you know, and it was supposed to be Vasquez, you know, most of the season. And then Jeffers, whenever, you know, against, you know, he'd come in when he is, you know, on his scheduled days in the lineup. And, you know, so far, you know, obviously he's outplayed Vasquez by widely, you know, by a wide margin. And hopefully, you know, that's another thing that it'll just continue. And, you know, what does that mean for, you know, what does that mean for Vasquez? I mean, you know, other than we've seen his role diminish a little bit, so where it's more of a 50-50 role, but
yeah, I mean, and
it's,
Go ahead. Oh, it's just, maybe you were getting to it, but it was just, you know, now that it's a situation where it is more of a 50-50 role, or maybe even going to switch now to where Jeffers gets the majority of the playing time, and now you've got a situation where you're paying a backup $10 million for the next couple of years.
Well,
they signed him to a 3-year contract. So,
well, that's true, but that doesn't mean that, you know,
so we'll see.
The ML, you know, there are teams, I guarantee there'll be some teams out there that are gonna be in a market for a catcher. If we want to, you know, if we want to take that next step on, you know, possibly trading Vasquez, you know, for, you know, and then have, like, let's say make Jeffers the number one guy and then have somebody, you know, in that smaller role, I bet we could find a buyer. So, I mean, this league's always looking for catchers, you know, for a team's, you know, always looking for good catchers. And Vasquez is one of them guys. He's very well known in the league, obviously. He's definitely a catcher I never thought we would ever land when we did get him. But I think there'd be several teams that would want to maybe take a shot at him. You know, money-wise, I think honestly for, you know, the 2 years, $10 million each year is pretty, I think it's a pretty generous contract offer, especially depending on what team would be interested in him.
Yeah, just you know, in the event that they didn't find a trade partner, then that might be the situation that they have a backup they're paying a lot of money to, or
yeah.
But I would guess they, if they find the right deal that they like, that it's very very possible he is traded. So
yeah,
we'll see though.
I just, you know, being that he's a catcher, that is a position that is not always loaded with talent. You know, when you compare it to the other, you know, the other eight positions out there on the field, as far as, you know, hitting wise, I should say the other seven positions, but, you know, catchers are always, you know, when a team gets a really good catcher, they try and hang on to him as long as they can.
Oh yeah, exactly. So. You're laughing because you saw what I just did?
Yes, I did.
We'll tell you about that in a minute, folks. If you aren't watching the game, the first game of the Cleveland series is going on while we're recording this. So a rather big moment just happened for Royce Lewis. That's 2 days in a row that he's done that. Also in that Thursday game, Michael A. Taylor hit a couple of home runs, and he's now tied his career high for home runs in a season with 19. So he's on the cusp of breaking his own personal record. And there's still plenty of season left where he's probably going to do that. So good for him. And what a nice revelation he has been, like we've said many times.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's definitely in a year where his batting average really hasn't been that extravagant. Neither is his on-base percentage. But, you know, to have the power with that, I mean, you know, that's just his way of contributing, which is awesome. You know, and then obviously his defense has helped us, you know, more than once.
Oh, yeah.
This season. So with Buxton not being able to play center field. But, you know, it's good to see. You know, I do hope he hits that 20th home run. It'd be great to see, you know, or hit more, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not. This is definitely not a season I predicted out of Michael A. Taylor. You know, as we talked about earlier in the year, you know, he was just not a guy known to hit a lot of home runs. I mean, you know, in the first couple years of his career he did, but, you know, other than that, he wasn't really known as a power hitter. So
wasn't known much as a hitter at all. No. I mean, I just, you know, I don't think anybody saw that he would get the amount of playing time that he's been forced to get, with Buxton not being able to play center and everything. So it's nice that he's been able to answer the bell every day that they've asked him to. Also in that game, Farmer and Lewis also homered in that game, which was Twins won 7-5. Friday, they put a whooping on the Rangers, 12-2. Sonny Gray went 7 innings and struck out 4 guys, only gave up a run. And Matt Wallner continues to do Matt Wallner things and hit baseballs really, really hard. Hit a 3-run triple in that game. And Jeffers had 2 more hits in that game and also was intentionally plucked in that game. And you can't tell me he wasn't, and that wasn't intentional. I think the Rangers were overly sensitive with how he acted when he hit that big home run on Thursday. He did kind of a very, very nice bat flip when he connected. Apparently they didn't appreciate it. And then Sonny Gray responded in kind and hit our old pal Mitch Garver. And benches cleared. People yelled at each other, and that was about it. And then the situation was done. But yeah, the old, you hit a home run off me, so I'm going to, and I'm butthurt, so I'm going to hit you. Never understood that.
I'm going to be kind of an old grouch about this. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the bat flip.
No, I get it in a big moment. But I don't like him, and it's just a regular home run. But
yeah, let's put it to you this way. I didn't care for it when Jose Bautista did it. Obviously, that's why I'm not a Jose Bautista fan, other than a few other reasons, but not just because of the bat flip. But, you know, and then I had a guy on my team when we were playing. He hit the game-winning home run, which, you know, awesome. And he did a bat flip, and it's kind of like, you know, it's like, okay, just, you know, I told myself not to be a an old grump about it, but it's just, I don't know why it aggravates me. I'm just not a big fan of the whole bat flip thing.
Like, I'm okay with it in certain situations, like in a big clutch situation like Jeffers, or I'll disagree with you, and I didn't mind it at all when Bautista did it, in the situation he did it in. But when it's just a home run in an early part of the game, or if you're down by a lot or something, then don't do that. Then you deserve to get flunked.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and that's fine. I know there's a lot of people that definitely don't agree with my outlook on it, and then there's, you know, some of the old-time players, or the, you know, the people who are just, you know, more old school like I am, who just absolutely don't believe in it. And sure, you know, I get it. I, you know, everybody, I'm kind everybody's of in the entitled. Middle. Yeah.
I'm in the middle. I'm not new school by any means. I don't want to see it every stinking time a guy hits a home run. Definitely in a big moment, I don't mind it. Anyway, so that happened. But really didn't turn into anything more than people shouting at each other, thankfully. Saturday was the loss they suffered, 6-2. I wasn't able to watch that game, but looks like Griffin Jacks had a bad night, gave up 4 runs in the inning, in an inning of work. Which, again, is contributing to this bullpen that's been suffering really bad lately. And yesterday, They won, bounced back and won 7-6. Royce Lewis hit a big grand slam. The Twins were down 5-0 and got to within 5-4 with him doing that. And then they were able to scratch a few more runs across, and the game ended in the 13th inning by a walk-off walk by Michael A. Taylor. Bases loaded, walk-off walk. Pretty nice comeback win. Nobody really had a outstanding or offensive day. The MVP of that game, though, I'm going to tell you, is Dallas Keuchel. He had to come in relief of Bailey Ober, who struggled, giving up 5 runs in 4 innings in his outing. And Keuchel went 5 scoreless in relief. So that
was
awesome.
Yeah, no, that was really good. I mean, right there, that's, you know, him being a true veteran, you know, just accepting the role right now that he's not in the top, you know, that he's not a starter, but he's taking the long relief role and piggybacking, you know, obviously when we need him, which, you know, yeah, it's for Ober. It's been a pretty tough stretch lately.
It culminated this afternoon. We'll tell you about that in a second.
Yep. I was going to say, and we just found out some news before we started recording on, Bailey Ober. So
yeah, go ahead and tell him.
All right. Well, Bailey Ober was optioned today, or just recently, like within the last hour, and he was and brought up was a guy who's kind of been talked about a little bit, who's been playing pretty decent down in AAA, a young man by the name of Cody Funderburk.
Yep.
So that's and so far this season, you know, Funderburk is Funderburk. Okay.
Yep.
It almost sounds like I say Thunderberg. It's Funderburk.
I know. It's really so cool. It's like, what? But yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, he's been shredding it down in AAA. He's 4-1 this season. He's got a 2.6 ERA. He started a couple games. He's got 5 saves, but he's pitched 52 innings. So, yeah, I mean, he's given up, 34 hits. He's given up 1 home run in 52 innings, and he's struck out 75 guys so far down in AAA. And I know he spent about 5 games down in AA, but, yeah, like I said, I mean, he's tearing it up down there in the minors, and, you know, you might as well bring a guy up who's riding the streak, you know, basically the opposite of what we did with Walmer. And, let's just see what this kid can do. Hopefully Ober, you know, while he's down in AAA, gets everything figured out. And you know, that he can, you know, at some point come back and, you know, help the team out again. But until then, next guy up.
Yeah. And I just seen this afternoon, the reason is that he was sent is because he's been struggling this second half, which isn't surprising. He's now pitched more innings this season than he ever has in his pro career being over. And in the second half of the season, he's currently pitching to about a ERA close to 6. It's 5.85 is the information I found. I don't know if it's all because he's wearing out or if there's something mechanical going on. That's something hopefully they can figure out in AAA, like you said. And in the meantime, you were saying it sounds like Funderburk's been mostly a reliever, though?
Just looking at his stats on FanGraph here, he's only started, he started 5 games, I believe. Or no, he started 2 games.
Okay.
But he's got 5 saves and he's got 6 holds. So he's been mostly in the relief role. Okay.
So then I would assume Keuchel will be put back in the rotation then.
That's a possibility. Or if they want to piggyback, you know, obviously he has started. I don't know if they're going to put him as a starter. I guess we don't know the details on that. And I haven't seen what Twitter had to say on that either from the other Twins experts. I would think only starting a couple games, you know, maybe it is possible he could go with that, you know, maybe a long relief role and then move Keuchel to the starting pitching role again. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we definitely will. And, of course, we wish Bailey over to figure it out and get back up on the big squad soon, if that's possible. So, and like we've been saying, in the meantime, hopefully Funderburk does help this bullpen that's been struggling. One big guy who's been struggling really mightily is Dylan Floro, our big pickup around the trade deadline. Where did I put the numbers he had with the Twins? I thought I put them down here, but
yeah, it's been horrendous.
It's been bad.
Let's just put it at that.
The last 10 games he played, pitched in with Miami, he pitched to a 6.30 ERA, and basically his first 10 as a Twin have been about the same. Maybe a tish better, but not enough to make a difference. I thought I had that in my note here, but I guess not. So, yeah, hopefully he figures it out, but I'm not confident he will at this point. He's been struggling, and I think that trade now looks more and more like that was just to get Jorge Lopez off the team and let him struggle somewhere else, unfortunately. Yeah. Because he wasn't doing anything either.
So according to Aaron Gleeman, it sounds like Funderburg will probably be more than likely be a bullpen guy. So should move Keuchel back into Ober's starting pitching position. So
that makes total sense then. So that's how this week looked. So the Twins now sit 6 games ahead of Cleveland in the division in first place. And guess how many games they have left against Cleveland?
6.
6. And all of those come in the next 10 days, including the series that's started tonight against them. They have 3 against them here in Minneapolis. Tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then they go to Arlington to play 3 against the Rangers to finish up their season series against them, and then they go to Cleveland to finish their season series against them. And so this is going to be another really big 10 days for the Twins, and definitely bigger for Cleveland if they want any chance of staying in this race. They basically have to, I would think Cleveland either has to sweep that or definitely they have to win both series if they have any prayer of keeping pace with the Twins. And if the Twins take these series, they pretty much, I would say at this point, that should bury Cleveland, finally.
Like you were saying, these are definitely important. This is definitely an important series. I mean, especially the Cleveland series. Right now, like I said, six games, and you know, you think that would be a comfortable lead, but when you play Cleveland six times in the next nine games, that is, to me, that's not a comfortable lead. So the Twins really need to at least get two out of this first series, you know, and then hopefully, you know, I don't expect a repeat of, you know, of what they did against the Rangers. You know, one would be great, two would be really great. I mean, if they swept them, that would be really awesome, you know, and then they need to go back to Cleveland and they need to just, you know, hammer down on them and just put a nail on a coffin to them and, you know, hopefully win a couple out of that series. So, yeah, because this right now, the face of, you know, this division's in the hands of the Twins. They control their own destiny. And, you know, so far when they've had things in their own hands, they haven't exactly followed through. I mean, and I'm not just talking about last year. I'm talking about this year, too. So it would, you know, it would be great just to see the Twins, you know, put the Yankees, put the Guardians away.
Yeah, and I mean, it feels like they've definitely had opportunities where this whole, for the last probably month or two, where that they could have done that already. And like you said, they've had a couple of series here that they inexplicably lost, especially the one or two against Detroit. And I still don't understand how they struggled so much against them this year, but they did. So there's no going back there. So it'll be a big 10 days here. See how things shake out and just how it's going to, we can tell you right now, as we're recording this, Twins are up 6-5 and what looks like a slugfest, has developed here in game one. It's a third inning and it's 6-5 already. And,
looks like a softball game.
Royce Lewis has already repeated what he, and there goes with another one you'll see in a minute.
you just couldn't resist.
Yeah, sorry. You're going to find out what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to find out on this pitch right here. Oh, no, not on that pitch.
Probably
he almost took another one. He almost took another one to the elbow on that pitch.
Yeah. But anyway, when we were talking a few minutes ago, Matt was reacting to Royce Lewis' second Grand Slam in 2 days, and now I'm reacting to a absolute bomb by Matt Wallner to the second deck. So it's been really nice to see these young kids just coming through. They're covering for some veterans who have struggled all season quite nicely, and given us confidence that the next 5 years or so look pretty promising, you know, if we keep them around with Wallner and Lewis, especially those two guys, since they've been playing regularly. So
yeah, most definitely. So I mean, you know, those are two guys you definitely got to have in the lineup every day as much as possible. There's no ands, it's or buts about it. If you don't have at least one of them, if not both of them, in a lineup, I mean, those are your sparks right now. So,
yeah,
you know, definitely. you take away that grand slam and you take away that last home run by Wallner. I mean, Twins only have two runs.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely something to behold. And speaking of products of the minor league system, we got a couple of notes here that are very positive that I just quickly found on Twitter. Guy who's kind of been forgotten about, mainly because of injuries and now not knowing where he would fit into the Twins' plans. Guy by the name of Austin Martin. He's gotten hot lately down in AAA. Note here that he's hitting .388 in his last 80 at-bats down with the Saints. So it's nice to see him finally overcoming his injuries and everything that seemed to have slowed his progress for a while there, and could present the Twins with a nice problem because he doesn't really have a open position. We don't really have an open position for him, on the big league team. So while he may soon deserve to be called up, he's blocked in pretty much every area he can possibly play defensively. Mm-hmm. For fans who are, I've seen a few calling for him to be called up. When I see that, I question, where in the heck do you want him to play?
Yeah, most definitely. It is. It's hard. It would be a hard spot to find, it'd be hard to find a place for him, especially with, it's like, where do you move Royce Lewis then? Do you really want to take him off third base, mm-hmm. and put him somewhere else? I mean, if you did, where would you put him? Outfield? Mm-hmm. It's like, you're not going to put him at second base because you already got Julian and Polanco playing over there.
Yep.
And then first base has been, you've had Solano, who's had a hot bat, hot bat, but he's mm-hmm. decent, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's like mm-hmm. outfield would be the only place you'd really have for him.
And people will be like, well, shortstop, you're not going to sit the guy you're paying the most money to.
No.
I don't care how bad he's been.
I don't, and honestly, I don't care how bad he's hitting. I like his defense. His defense does make up for his bat sometimes. So that's something the Twins haven't had for quite a long time. Every time they've gotten somebody over there to play shortstop, it's never been anybody who's, it's either somebody who's underachieved, their goal, or underachieved what we expected out of them, or they just haven't, they haven't panned out to what we, they hadn't panned out to, the hype,
Yeah, we haven't had a really, before we got Correa, we haven't really had a shortstop to write home about since Christian Guzman.
No,
in my opinion.
Andrew Simmons was supposed to be, a big deal, and, he was. He ended up being a total bust.
Yep.
For us. So
Andrelton Simmons, that was and I was kind of excited, I'll admit, when they signed him, because I knew he wasn't a great hitter or anything, but I thought he'd be a defensive wizard, and he didn't even turn out to be that.
No.
And then there was some issues, I guess, with the whole COVID thing and relating to him, and it's kind of a mess. So he was only here the one season, right?
He went to Chicago. I think he was with the Cubs, and I have no idea where he is now. He might still be with the Cubs.
I want to say he's either with Washington, or he may not have a job.
I think you're right. I think he might be in Washington. Now that you mentioned that, I do think I remember hearing about him going to Washington. He might not even still be there. That's true too.
I don't know. We'd have to look. And then another note here, a guy that the Twins drafted here in June, Walker Jenkins, he's been quite impressive in his first few months as a pro. He got through the, I don't even know what they call that first step in the minor leagues there.
The developmental league?
Yeah, he ripped through that. Then that season ended. And he's been promoted to low A, which is the Mighty Muscles, formerly the Fort Myers Miracle. I still don't know why they changed that name, but they did, to the Mighty Muscles. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Muscles is a good name, but it doesn't sound good with Fort Myers, so I'm still used to the Miracle.
So, but that's where he is, and in his, he's played more games than this, but the note I saw is that in his second game there, he had three hits and hit the walk-off single in the 10th inning in his second game there. I know they've had more games since that note, but seems like he's already on the fast track. That's great to see that he hasn't had that big of a struggle from high school to pro ball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And then I guess there's some news I found around the league that we should probably mention. The biggest would be something I didn't write down, but you alerted me or reminded me of. Unfortunately, Shohei Ohtani, the guy who's probably the best player in the world, definitely the most anticipated free agent this offseason, he suffered, I don't know if it's fully torn, but at least a partially torn UCL in his elbow, which means that he's not going to pitch the rest of this season. But we know he's a two-way player, so he's still going to play out the season as a hitter. They still haven't, as far as I know, determined if it's fully torn and he needs Tommy John surgery or not. I'm sure they will announce that as soon as they can. But it does, it is way too bad for him because it makes his off-season a little murky as far as how big of a contract he's gonna get now if he's not gonna be able to pitch for a while or maybe ever again or who knows. He still might break I'm not gonna cry for him because he's still gonna make a ton of money, but not as much as I don't think he's going to make as much now as it was looking like he was going to make. If he decides that he won't try pitching again, then I'm kind of guessing that might cost him $100 million.
Yeah. Definitely, could possibly be his second Tommy John surgery.
That's the thing, yeah.
You know, and then the fact that now he's going from a two-way player down to just, being a hitter.
Yep.
Yeah, that definitely changes a lot his history, or not his history, but his future.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, you were looking at a $5 million player, you know, that would cost a team to have him for a certain length of time. It's definitely gone. It's definitely gone down now. I mean, he's still, you know, as a hitter, he's still definitely worth a lot of money. But yeah, like you said, now without the pitching, I mean, he's, you know, he's not going to get exactly the, he's not exactly going to get, you know, the money that it was anticipated. So, but, you know, I, you know, I'll take it. I mean, you know, is him being a hitter. Yeah. I mean, it stunk because I was hoping I would get to see him pitch when I go, the Twins and Angels here later this month, or I should say next month. It's not quite yet the first, but, I mean, I'll take it as a hit. I'll take it as watching him as a hitter too. So,
yeah, it's just a blow to him because, you know, he's a once in a lifetime, if that, talent, you know, and someone who's been successful at both pitching and hitting. We've never seen that before. Only people who might, if there's anybody still alive who saw Babe Ruth live, they're the only people that would have seen that, you know, in action. And even Babe didn't pit, you know, after a while, I don't know if he decided or if the Yankees decided he wasn't going to pitch anymore or whatever. But, you know, so, you know, obviously he didn't do it his whole career, where the intention for Ohtani was to do it his whole career, or as long as he could. Unfortunately, it looks like this might be as long as he could do it, and he's only, what, 26, 27 years old? So it is too bad for him. He's still going to break the bank. I would imagine, though, this, because in Japan, was he an outfielder as well?
Yeah, he was a right fielder.
Okay. And he's been a pitcher and a DH pretty much here in the majors. So I would guess if he's not going to pitch anymore, they'll move him back. Whatever team he ends up on will put him in the outfield. If that's the case, because you wouldn't want to pay a guy who's only a DH now that amount of money. I wouldn't think.
Yeah, he just turned 29, so.
He's older than I thought, but still.
Oh, yeah.
But 29's not old at all. And so.
not in baseball.
Well, in life either. But 29 and second Tommy John, it's too bad. But I mean, he's still probably going to make probably in the neighborhood of $400 million. I would guess. And maybe somebody will, whoever does get him, will take the chance that he's going to pitch again and pay him as such. But it'll be interesting to see. But it's just too bad that that had to happen. And especially this close to the end of the season, so that any surgery that would happen is going to happen probably in the off season, and then it would mean he can't pitch. Well, at this point, he's not going to pitch next year no matter what, unless he doesn't need surgery for some reason. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Some other news there. Since the Twins are playing Cleveland, I thought I'd throw in the note here that they have already gotten rid of one of their trade deadline acquisitions, Noah Syndergaard, who really struggled ever since coming to the Guardians. and he's been designated for assignment. So I guess technically he hasn't, he's not out of the organization, but he's been designated for assignment. And so there's a few days here they have to decide whether they are going to try to get him to go to AAA or he can decide to become a free agent. I would anticipate he's going to become a free agent.
Yeah, just to stop you for a second, some breaking Twins news here. Cody Funderburk is warming up in the bullpen.
Yes.
So
he's got a nice mullet there, too.
Yeah, I just seen it on Twitter. Somebody posted that he's warming up. So, it's the whole Syndergaard thing. I think, you know, I was really shocked when they traded for him. But it, you know, now looking at what happened and why they let him go, it's made a lot of sense why they acquired him. Because of the fact that now that they're starting to get their their top starting pitchers back from injury, that they don't really need him anymore. And that was just, I think, you know, the trade was just to try and keep him, you know, try to keep him afloat and try and keep him, you know, within close with Minnesota, or, you know, or just at least until those two main starters came back in Quantrill and I'm missing the other name here at the moment, but Cal Quantrill obviously came back just recently. So, Syndergaard, somebody will pick him up. He'll end up pitching for somebody. So
it's just too bad too, because he's one of those, you know, him and Jacob DeGrom, of the, when they were with the Mets, they looked for a while there that would make the Mets unstoppable, but again, it's risk, as is a risk with all pitchers. Those two, especially DeGrom, though, have been injury riddled and haven't turned out to be, or when they're pitching, when he's pitching, DeGrom's as awesome as anybody, but problem is he's always hurt. And for a while there, Syndergaard was dominant with how fast he could throw. And but again, injuries and whatnot have curtailed that for him too. So it's too bad, but that's happened to him. And then another thing with Cleveland that I don't know if he said it on purpose or whatnot, but their manager Terry Francona kind of maybe let it slip that we're looking at maybe his last days as a manager. Which because of health concerns he's had for many years. And, it sounds like he's just finally, feels like his body can't take it, the grind anymore. So,
yeah, that's kind of what I heard too. Somebody was just kind of talking about all the things he's been through, recently, and or just over his, you know, over his career as a manager, and, you know, just in baseball in general. And
yeah,
it sounds pretty rough. I mean, yeah, it's probably time, you know, maybe just to get away for a little while. And, you know, and it they kind of made it sound like definitely this was his last year managing in Cleveland. But, you know, it's still, you know, there's still the possibility, you know, if he goes away, you know, he gets away for a little while and kind of takes care of his health, you know, doesn't say he could, you know, might not come back in a different role, you know, in baseball versus, you know, instead of being a manager, maybe have some type of, you know, some other type of job with, you know, within an organization. It doesn't have to necessarily be Cleveland, but any organization. So
maybe it's a coach in spring training, you think, or something? Well, who knows?
Yeah, Yeah, it could be that. I mean, to me, he's been around the game. He's a pretty smart guy. Definitely one of my, you know, one of my probably favorite coaches, one of my more well-respected coaches of the game that I like. So,
definitely, yeah. I think he's ticketed for Cooperstown.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He definitely deserves that. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I just hope, you know, everything goes all right, you know, if he does, you know, when he does step away from the game. So,
yeah, just kind of sad because you like to see those. You don't ever like to hear your guys' health is deteriorating, and that's what's going to cause him to have to stop doing what he's loved to do for so many years. Sounds like the time has come, and he's just going to try to make it to the end of this season and then walk away. He hasn't officially announced that, but that's the way he was sounding in some sort of press conference the other day. It's kind of what it sounds like is going to happen. Then the last thing I have down here as kind of league news that was significant, the White Sox are shaking things up in their front office in a matter of speaking. And I say finally because things haven't gone well for many years with them, and these guys have been part of their front office for a couple decades. They fired team president Kenny Williams and then general manager Rick Hahn this last week. You would think though that they would maybe, you know, with things have gone as bad as they have, maybe look outside the organization for their replacements. No.
That smoke you see coming in Chicago is on the south side is the dumpster fire known as the Chicago White Sox right now.
And they decided to, I believe they said that it's Chris Getz, if I think that's the name.
Yep.
He's been working with the White Sox. He's going to be the new GM. And then a guy who is outside of the organization is going to be put in the other role, I guess. A guy named should be familiar to AL Central following teams, Dayton Moore, who used to be the general manager for the Kansas City Royals. He's going to be part of the White Sox organization now. So they did look outside the organization for one guy, but they looked internally for the other guy. And then I guess it sounds like Tony La Russa is coming back in an advisor, role. He's not going to be the man.
Guy looks as rough as Bob Barker. Rest in peace, by the way. But, man. I saw a picture or something of him on the TV the other day, and I'm like, oh, my God, that guy looks so rough.
Yes, if you didn't, we now have confirmation Tony La Russa has been coloring his hair.
Yeah, jet white. Like,
well, I think it's naturally white now.
Yeah,
but the black that we all remember.
Oh, yeah.
Appears now that was fake.
You know, and I give that group. You know, I gave that group, you know, a little bit of credit. On paper, that they did build a heck of a team. The problem is that team just could not play. They could not play together. They couldn't, it couldn't mesh. I mean, there was, they didn't have a lot of success, and it stinks because you look at some of them guys that they had, especially the young players. I mean, that team, those guys should have been kicking the crap out of us in Cleveland, you know, with the talent that they had. And it's just, it sucks that it didn't, I mean, it's good for us, but it sucks for them that it just didn't, you know, it didn't, you know, turn into something big. And, you know, after a few years of that, yeah, I mean, what other choice do you have? I mean, you gotta pretty much, you know, let people go and trade some pieces off and just start all over again. And then it sounds like they're, and it does sound like that their farm system really isn't that strong right now. Ain't really no. that great. So they definitely are going to be a rebuilding team for a few years.
Yeah, or they're going to try again to lure some free agents, which hasn't worked for them very well. And then there was news, I guess, they're wanting a new ballpark, and their owner, who has said if they don't get one, maybe they'll move to Nashville. So there's that too. They're not. If you're a White Sox fan, I don't know why you're listening to us, but thank you if you are. If you are a White Sox fan, you cannot be happy with your organization at all.
You know, that's
this last few years.
So. Yeah, that's, you know, that's, I hate, I don't know. Owners are starting to really bug me in baseball lately. And it's not just Oakland's owner. I mean, you know, or in Baltimore's owner. It's like, just, you know, a guy, you know, come out there and say something like this. I mean, that's a lot of fuel to throw on a fire that hasn't even really quite started yet. But I mean, I get it. They do need a new stadium. That stadium's what, 30 some years old now?
32. It opened in 91.
91. Okay. Yeah. You know, I get it. Yeah, it's outdated. You know, they're definitely in the market for, you know, a new stadium. And the White Sox are a team that I just can't picture them being anywhere but Chicago.
They should. They've been there isn't that the only city they've been in? I think it is.
And I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
And they're one of the oldest teams in the history of the game. So,
yeah.
That would be really sad if they left.
So, oh. But, yeah, it's, And don't get me wrong, Nashville, I think, definitely deserves to have a team. I think they definitely have the market, but I just don't want to. I don't want to see a team that, you know, a team that has been in one place for so many years just up and move because of it.
Yeah,
I'd
want to see it be a expansion team, personally.
Or, you know, if a team's got to move, like, you know, I mean, throw Tampa out there. Tampa's...
Nobody goes to their games, so that...
Well, yeah, there you go. I mean, a team that's struggling where they are right now, I could, Tampa could definitely move there. Not some of these other teams that, you know, like Oakland, which I'm still against. That's, to me, that's more on ownership than it is anything else. And then, you know, the other, you know, for a while there, you know, the owner of the Baltimore, John Angelos, he's even commented about wanting to move the team out of Baltimore, you know, possibly moving into Nashville, which I don't know how much you know about that guy, but he's a piece of work.
Yep. Did we talk about that? What's been going on with them the last month or so? Did we mention that whole controversy?
About them showing their books or their
finances. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. But also that they suspended one of their broadcasters for reporting facts.
Oh, I think we did cover that. I don't remember, but I don't know. They've made a bunch of news lately for not all the right reasons.
If we didn't mention it, we'll talk about it right now. They a few weeks ago, they took their television play-by-play one of their television play-by-play voices off the air for I think a week or 10 days because he reported facts. He reported what was right in front of him on the TV screen. They were playing the Tampa Bay Rays and the fact he was just reading off the fact that they've struggled a lot against the Rays the last few years. And that got the owner mad enough where he suspended him for that. And it's just what, and then the same owner, this guy, like you said, he's real piece of work because they've got a situation with their lease on their ballpark. The beautiful Camden Yards where they've got they got to renew it soon.
Yeah, I think it's the next couple of years, I believe.
And then they're not saying they want a new ballpark, do they? They just want a different deal with the lease or what's I'm not
I,
sure.
Yeah, I'm not 100% certain on that part of it, but I do know it mostly has to do with the lease.
And they're threatening to move if that doesn't go right? Is that what you are saying too?
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some talks, I mean, it's nothing for certain, but it's just one of them deals that they say, they want to move out of the Baltimore market because they, I just know anything that comes out of that guy's mouth pretty much just frustrates me because he's one of them guys that just doesn't spend money on his team. And then all of a sudden you look at what they're doing this year and he had the audacity to come out and say, with how good Baltimore is doing right now, to say, he basically said, if this, we ain't going to be able to keep all these guys, so we're going to we'll have to raise the prices. Why would there you throw that in the fans' face right now? I mean, it's just...
This guy can't get out of his own way.
No. your team's finally out of the...
Finally relevant.
Out of the toilet. out of the toilet for the first time in many years, and all of a sudden you throw that at him. It's like, I don't know.
Why are you trying to ruin this, man?
Exactly.
I
think that the Angelos just need to sell that team to somebody who really wants it. So,
yeah, I just wondered. It doesn't seem like he wants it. I don't know. It's been in the Angelos family for many years. His dad owned it for a long time, and now, now he's principal owner and keeps saying things. And the whole thing about, he was saying they're losing money, right? And and he was saying, I'll show you the book sometimes that proves it. And, but he's never followed through on that, even though he said it two or three times.
Yes, exactly. and then when it gets brought up, he tries to skate around it.
Yeah.
And
which one is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all he's done. He's just been one of them guys. He'll say half the things he says, and then when he looks like a donkey,
Yeah.
And then he tries to skate around it. And it's just, it's like, dude, first off, just shut up. watch your team for a little while. Watch what they're doing. I mean, they're playing good. You know, you're getting fans in the stands. You should be making money right now.
Right.
No, we don't expect you're going to be able to pay every one of these guys, you know, good contracts.
Nobody does.
But
yeah.
No, nobody does. It's why it's called, you know, that's the beauty of baseball.
Yeah.
And,
but
you know,
you don't say that in the middle of a season.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the guy like doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't have a filter.
Read the room.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't sound like the other brother's much better. So.
Really? I don't know.
Yeah. There's two brothers, you know, they're sounds like they're pretty much both pretty outspoken. So.
Oh, I only hear from the one, and it seems like, especially
yeah.
Lately. And if I was a Baltimore fan, I'm sure I'd be saying, shut up.
Yeah, well, and I want to say that there was a point where the two brothers were fighting over the majority share of the team.
Oh, nice.
That was at the beginning of the season. I'd have to go back, because I thought we talked about it on an early episode of this during this season. That with the brothers. So I remember talking to somebody about it. Maybe it was on this podcast, or maybe it was something else. But anyway, it's just. Yeah, I mean, I just wish they could just shut up, you know, enjoy your team.
Yeah, you're finally good.
Yes, yes.
Your whole tanking thing worked.
Yeah.
Whether that's good or bad, it did work. You're finally good. Let your fans be happy. Even if you're not happy about something, let them be happy. So yeah, good stuff, huh? At least Twins fans didn't have to go through that. We did have to survive the whole possible contraction thing, but thankfully a judge wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is, thank you. Saved our team from being contracted, and then we did finally get this beautiful ballpark that we now will play in, and everything is good. By the way, should mention, since you had said you had to break the news that Cody Funderburk was warming up. He did get in the game and got through his first major league inning unscathed.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He had one strikeout and he had a couple balls hit. Well, the one was hit right up the middle to him, and the other one he actually chased it down between catcher and first and recorded a 1-3 out. So
good for him. And yeah. It does
so
now
far,
look
so good.
Like I think we've got the answer. He is definitely going to be in the bullpen.
Yeah, I got a couple people texting me asking me who this kid is. I'm like, I'll call you later.
Got called up today, guys.
Yeah.
Or you could say, listen to our podcast. We'll tell you all about him. So that's right. As we talk now, I guess we can update the scores. Now Twins 10, Guardians 6, and we've only gotten to the fifth inning. So this game is taking a little longer than it seems like, or a little longer than it seems like games have taken this year.
Yeah.
Been playing a whole 2 hours and we're only halfway done, but that's...
Yeah.
That's, back in the old days, that's the way it would be done. And the score would not be as high as it is. So
no, most definitely not. But you know what? As of right now, I mean, the offense has definitely stepped up. You know, with Maeda struggling tonight, and then obviously, you know, Thunderbird having his first, you know, great, you know, first inning a success. So, yeah, just hopefully the bats can continue to keep going here. So,
yep, 10 runs in 5 innings is always a good thing offensively. So, so that is the end of my notes that I had about this week. Again, we did say the upcoming schedule for the Twins this week is the Guardian series is going on, and then the Rangers this weekend in Texas. Other than that, I don't know. Did you have anything else that you thought of that you would want to discuss, sir?
No, I think we pretty much touched on everything for this week.
Okay. All right. Well, then we will wrap it up, and we will see what this coming week brings as far as baseball and Twins news that we will talk to you guys next week about. All right.
All right.
All right, guys. So thanks for tuning in, and have a safe week, everybody.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.